from many different places, different church traditions, and we will have had different experiences of prayer. It's one of our great strengths as a group. You will have had different teaching on prayer. You'll have come from different traditions. And my encouragement to you is to be open-minded in the weeks to come, to try something new from one of the many things that we're going to talk about. Have a go. Commit to the adventure of shaking up your prayer life a little bit and trying something new. The week of prayer itself, as I mentioned in the notices, is a great opportunity to do that, to try out some new things that perhaps you haven't done before or you haven't done for a long time, perhaps. And this series is based on this book. I've got a copy of it here. It's called How to Pray by Pete Gregg, who is the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement. I think that they are celebrating their 25th year as a prayer movement. If you've never heard of 24/7 prayer, then I would encourage you to Google it, to read about it, to read other books that Pete has written. It's been quite influential in my life as I've learned about prayer in my Christian life. And he's a really good author on this subject and really easy to read. It's not a heavy book and it's very practical as well. It's available from Eden, the Christian online bookshop, other online retailers. Sadly, we don't have a local Christian bookshop. And there's a children's version as well, which I haven't got a copy of. If you ask Nikki, she's got a copy, as have the other Lighthouse helpers. And the children are going to be following that in their sessions in Lighthouse. It's also available on Audible if you're a listening to a book person, not a reading a book person. So I'd encourage you to do that. And that book then was made into an online resource called the Prayer Course. And that's what we're going to be doing in FIS with our young people and in our adult Bible study groups. There are videos and Bible studies and lots of other resources. And each week that I'll be preaching on this, there are going to be some prayer toolkit resources that have been created. They're at the back for this week, but there's only a few copies of each. I'm going to try and put together a kind of mail out on our subscription. It's with the links or the documents so that you'll be able to see them online. So lots of different resources available. But let's start with quite a basic question. It's not on there. Okay, it's really interesting. We're going to need it later, definitely. So, was on the purple stick, there wasn't nothing. Okay, this is going to be interesting. Okay, right, I'm going to plough on, and we're going to have to do something before we get to Julie's membership thing, because I'm going to need it for that. Okay, no worries. Okay, let's just have a go. So, first question, and if it was there, it would be there. It said, why do we pray? So, a really basic question, why do we pray? So, according to research carried out by Tear Fund, a Christian charity, in 2018, 51% of adults in the UK pray, including 20% of people who do not consider themselves religious. So people often pray in times of crisis, either personal crisis or on a larger scale. There was a big uptake in prayer and visiting churches and things after 9/11. Perhaps also people pray at times where they give thanks, perhaps at a birth of a child or another happy event tends to drive people to prayer. Perhaps when they're out in creation, like Scruff seeing the Northern Lights, whatever, we can be drawn to prayer. Obviously, people of other faiths pray, but did you know that on Easter Sunday each year, one in four people globally pray the Lord's Prayer? Because of the number of Anglicans and Catholics and probably other liturgical denominations, that's the size of the global population that is praying the Lord's Prayer on Easter Sunday, where obviously there's often more people in church on that day. So that's an awful lot of prayer. And I'd say that our Christian understanding of the human condition is that we were created to pray. We were created to be in relationship with God, the one who has created us. It's in this relationship that we find our true identity, our purpose, our sense of being loved and known and valued. Prayer is one of the primary ways that we conduct this relationship with God. It's how we communicate, because all relationships require communication to develop and deepen, even to function as a relationship. Now, we know that Jesus prayed. The Gospels tell us that. Jesus, the most human of humans, and in his humanness, he prayed. He prayed with his religious community in the synagogue and a temple, in his home, and of course, he prayed on his own. The Gospels frequently talk about Jesus going off to pray. Often it was an early morning. Sometimes it involved mountain walking, and sometimes it was to prepare for ministry that he knew he was going to be doing, or to recover from ministry that he had been doing. In fact, it was after one of these times where Jesus had gone off to pray that when he came back, his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. And the result of that was the Lord's Prayer, both an example of how to pray and a template for how to pray. Now, Pete Greger in his book talks about three things when we're thinking about our prayer lives as Christians: to keep it simple, to keep it real, and to keep it up. So first of all, keeping it simple. One of the issues with prayer is that sometimes we tend to make it a bit complicated. We come to believe that there are certain ways to pray and can get very caught up in whether we are doing it right or not. Now, unlike other faiths, Christianity has hardly any rules about prayer. We can pray at any time, we can pray anywhere, we can pray in any way. And just like different friendships or relationships are maintained by different communication styles, so it is true of prayer. Some people love to speak on the phone. Others only really feel that they connect when they are face to face. Some people prefer messaging in a conversation or leaving a series of voice notes. Sometimes in relationships, we did communicate in a certain way, and our time of life and the circumstances that we find ourselves in mean that we can't communicate in that way with a friend anymore. Perhaps we don't live around the corner anymore, and we can't catch up weekly for a coffee. So we have to speak on the phone or speak online, and it can take a while to adjust. And same's true for prayer. Sometimes the seasons of our lives, the routines of our life, the pillars of our lives change. And so the patterns of prayer that have worked for us in the past no longer do. And that can be really disconcerting. If you've been someone who's always prayed in a certain way, maybe for a long while you've had a job that's allowed you to commute on the train, and you've always used that time to commute time to pray, and then suddenly you move to a workplace that is walkable distance, and that time that you had is gone. And so you have to find a different time and a place to pray, maybe a different way of praying. Maybe sometimes we just get a bit bored with the way that we've been praying for a while. I don't know, maybe that's just a me thing. And you want to try out different things. So we're going to consider lots of different ways of praying over the next few weeks, so that we're going to be equipped to discover how best we can communicate with God. And as I've been saying, do try out some of the new things. But one thing that Jesus does is teach us to keep it simple. So from the Message version of the Matthew 6 reading that we had, Eugene Peterson renders it this way. He says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father that you are dealing with. The start of the Lord's Prayer, which was the answer, Jesus' answer to how to pray, reminds us that our prayer is directed to our Father in heaven. Now, we don't only have to pray to Father in heaven. Sometimes we pray to Jesus. Sometimes we'll pray to the Holy Spirit. It's all God, remember, the Trinity. Okay, but the Lord's Prayer, that pattern of prayer, it's addressed to our Father in heaven. We're praying to someone who knows us intimately, who made us, who cherishes us. This model of prayer helps us to remember who we are coming towards and remember to keep it simple. One of the other things that we can hamper us in our prayer is the fact that we believe that we can only communicate to God about certain things. So it's important that we keep it real. Perhaps we believe that when we pray, we should give thanks to God and praise him and then confess our sins and then pray for others. Sometimes we can believe the lie that we can't really pray for ourselves or any of our needs. Or maybe, as we were taught in Sunday school, or maybe it's just me, that you have to pray for other people before you can pray for yourself because, you know, otherwise it doesn't work somehow. Prayer isn't and shouldn't be like that. Prayer shouldn't be selfish. We shouldn't just be coming to God with all of our things. That's not what prayer is about either. But we shouldn't feel we can't come to God with our things, just as we were remembering in the family talk. As we come to communicate with our loving Heavenly Father, we can be real. Yes, there is time when we praise God. That's very important. Yes, there's time when we have to confess our sins and repent. Again, really important. But we need to keep our prayer life real. The Psalms give us really clear examples of the different ways that we can come to God with all the different emotions and feelings that we have as human beings. And many of the Psalms are laments. Prayers where the psalmist is incredibly honest and raw about their situation or the pain that they're in. Some are written from a personal perspective and others from a communal standpoint. Even our prayer in church, our communal prayer together, can be lament sometimes. And it's a loss, really, to the church that we've forgotten that and we don't do it more. Because sometimes the things that we see in the world or in each other's lives, are just so awful that we have to cry out to God and ask him, why? How long, O Lord, do we have to put up with this? When are you hearing me? You know, those are all things that the Psalms say are legitimate things to say to God. So we can do that. And it's healthy and right to do that. The Psalms come back always to recognizing who God is in the situation. Lament doesn't leave us in that place of despair. Lament reorientates us back to God. But it's a really helpful prayer form if you're in a really difficult place. Keeping it real reminds us of who we are speaking to. And believe me, God can take it all. We can be as angry as we want with God, and he can take it. In his immense love for us, he's like that good parent that just absorbs our emotion and remains consistently loving and calm. In his presence, we can come back to the reality of his goodness and presence with us, even in our difficult circumstances. The third thing that we're taught to do is to keep it up. Like most good habits in life, which bring around growth and change in us as human beings, one of the key things about prayer is to stay consistent. Now, like other things like diet and exercise, times in our lives may put us out of that routine for a time, but it's important that we try and have a pattern and routine of prayer that is our default that we can return to. Different seasons in life may cause us a different routine, as I've said, but establishing a new way of praying when things in our lives change is key. And there are two things that help us with this consistency: having a place to pray and having a time to pray. Now, both of those things are very personal. You've got to work those out for yourselves. I would encourage you to work them out, but you have to work it out for yourselves. Do you have a chair or a place in your house that you can pray? Can you pray as you walk somewhere regularly or on your commute? Are you a morning prayer person or a night prayer person? It doesn't really matter. We just need to be praying. None of the detail matters except for establishing a practice that can be consistent and see your relationship with God and your walk of faith deepen and flourish. In the book How to Pray, Pete Gregg suggests a simple pattern for any prayer time. P, it spells out pray, and if it was, it's there now, excellent. Sorry, there we go. So pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. And as we go through the series, we'll consider each of those in turn. And since this is our first session, we're going to think about pausing. And we're going to have a practice right here and now about pausing in prayer. When we start our time of prayer, when we come to start it, when we sit down where we're sitting, maybe with some caffeine in a cup, maybe with our Bibles, maybe with a journal, all of these are optional extras. When we take that, we decide to start that time, it's good to just take some moments to come into God's presence, to leave whatever activity we've just done before and consciously come into prayer. Incidentally, this is also a good practice when we come into church and when we begin our time of worship, which is why I started with that psalm today. So how do we do this? What's a way of doing this? You can do this in all sorts of different ways, but there is a way of praying called a centering prayer, and this is how it works, okay? So I'm going to explain to you again, and then we're going to do it, okay? So it's four stages. So first of all, you choose a way to sit or to be, okay? There's not a lot of choice this morning. You're all sitting in chairs. I mean, you can stand up if you want. You can find a space to lie on the floor. I'm not going to care, but you might be constrained by your Englishness, some of us. Anyway, but if you're at home, you can choose however you a posture. In the Bible, there are lots of different postures in prayer. Standing, arms out raised, prostrate on the floor, kneeling, sitting, you know, doesn't matter. You can pray when you're walking. It doesn't have to be a static posture. Okay, and then when you're in that posture, you're going to breathe. And you're going to slow your breathing down, consciously breathing in the Holy Spirit and out the concerns that you've come to prayer with. Okay, so really different from that Sunday school model where, you know, you cannot pray for yourself because you haven't prayed for anyone else yet. Nope, going to throw that out for a moment for the morning. And we're going to just breathe in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to breathe out the concerns that we have. This is silently. And if you're feeling a bit like, oh my goodness, she's getting a bit new age, then Jesus, when he met his disciples, when he was resurrected, it's there in John's gospel, he says, he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so breath and the Holy Spirit, we've done lots of work on this. We know about that correlation. Okay, so we're going to breathe in and we're going to breathe out. And then, if you're on your own at home and do this, you're going to choose a phrase that you're going to repeat. You can repeat it in your head. You can repeat it out loud if you're at home. We're going to repeat it in our heads here so we're not all disturbing each other's peace. And it could be something, it can be something really short. It needs to be something really short. So something like that line from the psalm, be still and know that I am God. It could be a name of Jesus. So you could repeat, Jesus, my Saviour. It could be one of the ancient phrases of the church. Maranatha's a good one. Come, Lord Jesus, at the end of Revelation. And we're always wanting Jesus to come. So come, Lord Jesus. Or you could just keep saying, Hallelujah. It could be the Jesus Prayer, a very ancient prayer of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you might find, if you're that way inclined, that you begin speaking in tongues during this time. That's something that happens as well. So you're just going to be repeating it. As you're doing the breathing, you're going to be repeating it. And you're just going to do that for a little while. You'll get distracted because you're a human being, and you just bring your mind back. It's a great way to start a prayer time. And we're going to try it in a minute. I've been trying. What happens when you preach is that you often preach to yourself first. It's okay, it's normal. So I thought, well, I can't give you all this unless I've tried it for myself. So I've tried it this week. I set myself a little timer because, you know, you could fall asleep or just it feels like I don't know how long to do it for. So I set myself a little timer. And it's not been easy, but it has been good. It's really just, and I have really experienced a sense sometimes, some mornings, sensed God's love, sensed God's peace, sensed God's just favour, not favour, that's the wrong word, just his pleasure at me as a human being, which is, you know, lovely, isn't it? So I would encourage you. It's been tested and I would say it works. Yeah, but we're going to give it a go right now. We're just going to do a minute. Don't panic. Then we're going to move on. So get yourself into a comfortable position, if you can, on our church chairs. And we're going to breathe slowly. Going to breathe in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to breathe out our concerns. I'm going to think of a phrase, something, just thank you, Jesus. It's absolutely fine. And we're going to just keep repeating that in our minds for a minute, and then I'm going to end with thanks. Okay. Off we go. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you that we can pray, that you have given us a model of prayer in the Lord's Prayer, that we are encouraged in that to come to our loving Heavenly Father, to communicate, to simply and in a real way take time to communicate, to be in your presence. Lord, as we begin this series, Lord, I ask that you would teach us to pray. That we would have the courage to try new things, and that we would be people whose prayer lives are deepened and richer and more consistent as we go through this time together. Amen.